Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Patriots 4th and 2 for another episode. My name's Russ Goldman from Pat's Confidential, and I can't even say confidential. Joining me tonight is Steve Balsgeri from Pat's Pub and Damian Jarrett from 4th and Long. We are all bloggers on patsfans.com. This is our third episode, as I just said, and we are going to be recapping the Patriots' victory over the New York Jets, which was pretty exciting, and I will get the thoughts of both of my friends on what they thought of this victory. First of all, I'll start with my opening thoughts. I was pretty scared watching this game. The defense of the New York Jets really showed me something. For some reason, Rex Ryan does know how to really stop Tom Brady, and I think he does an excellent job of putting pressure with his exotic blitzes and also being able to really crowd the middle of the field and force the Patriots to find other options besides Wes Welker. But Wes Welker did have a decent game and absolutely made a difference. But what scared me was the Jets did find a way to impede Tom Brady. And this will be something that we'll be talking a little bit later. Does that concern other Patriots fans? It actually does concern me a little bit. But overall, on a positive, I will say the defense, to me, played a very good game. Best defensive performance so far this season. We'll definitely talk about that. Talk about the perception that the Jets really aren't a good offense compared to the Patriots defense, what is real and what is not real. But I have to tell you, I thought the Patriots defense came to play. They had several three and outs. We'll talk about that. They stopped the Jets, to me, when they really needed to on many occasions. So I'm very happy. I was, again, a little concerned about the offense, and hopefully we won't be seeing that happen again to the Patriots offense. Anyways, those are my opening thoughts. Let me go right now to Steve and ask you, Steve, what was your first impression of the Patriots' victory yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you, Russ, I thought that the offense did leave a lot of points on the field, as Brady and Deion Branch both alluded to after the game in their post-game interviews. But at the same time, they put up over 450 yards of offense against the Jets defense, which is that's no mean feat right there. You saw what the Jets defense did to Baltimore the week before. And I'll tell you, I'm Bill O'Brien's worst critic when it comes to doing in-game adjustments, and I thought he did a fantastic job yesterday because the Jets were taking away the deep ball. They were taking away that intermediate pass that Brady likes to throw. And O'Brien adjusted on the fly, and they got the running game going in the second half, especially in that last drive. And I thought he did a fantastic job. In regards to the Patriots defense, I did think they played much better, although I was hoping that the Jets weren't going to get the ball back one last time. I found the Jets play calling extremely odd, to say the least. They talked all this week about ground and pound, but yet in their first three possessions, they had three third down and very short yardage, and all three times they threw the ball, and all three times they failed. And I thought that was odd, but overall I thought it was a very solid win over an opponent that knows them very well.
I would tend to agree with you on that. Damian, what are your opening thoughts about the game?
It's been a complete contrast to the last few weeks. I think the defense was the bright spot throughout the game. It was a particularly slow start from the offense. Steve pointed out that we left a lot of points on the field at the very start of the game. I think we had four and outs in a row, and I think it was quite disappointing that we only made it through to half time, only 10-7 up. I don't think it reflected the performance at all. So, you know, I was getting incredibly frustrated during that game watching the offense repeatedly fail with the defense getting off of the field so successfully. I don't think, you know, the score completely reflects the game, you know, but I think it's quite promising the fact that the offense didn't have a great game. They weren't consistent throughout the game, and they still put over 450 yards on the Jets, and they still put 30 points up on the board. I don't think the Jets were 21 points good. I think that flatters them. I thought the defense had an exceptional game. You know, the short field touchdown certainly didn't help their cause, but you know, they held Sanchez to under 200 yards passing, and they held the Jets to under 100 yards rushing, and I think that's an excellent achievement.
I agree with you. No matter what people think about the Jets' offense, I think holding any team with that kind of yardage is some kind of an accomplishment, and I think that's something that we certainly need to get into. But before we go into the defense, I'm going to ask you guys several questions about the Patriots' offense. Before I do that, I do want to mention that you can call the show and ask us questions. Please do give us a call. The number here is 347-215-7276. Please feel free to join us and ask us some questions about the Patriots game. But until we do, let's get right into the Patriots' offense. Damien, I'm going to start with you. The offensive line did a great job in the running game, but in the passing game, Tom Brady got sacked 4 times and got pressured a great deal. What are your thoughts on the overall performance of the line?
It was very, very inconsistent, to say the least, which pretty much sums up the entire offense throughout the game. I think I saw a stat midway through the fourth. It was 4 sacks, 7 pressures, and 7 QB hits. And obviously, we're not used to seeing Brady on the floor that much. But you know, the Jets seem to always find a way to cause our offensive line issues, and they certainly did that. And you've got to give some credit to Rex Ryan. The guy is one of, if not the smartest guys when it comes to defense in the NFL. And despite a poor showing in terms of rushing yards in defense, they've been very good against the pass this year. So that, you know, that's something that a lot of people don't take into account. We didn't run the ball very effectively throughout the game. You know, they were very inconsistent there as well. A lot of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis's rushing yards came in that final 11 play drive. I think 59 of his yards came in that final drive. So when you look at that and you take that drive away, throughout the game, we were consistently not running the ball very well. I think we had we were tackled twice for losses as well. So, you know, there was definitely problems there. It was inconsistent, but Mankins described them perfectly today to the Boston Globe, that they were clutch and they came up when it really mattered. And that's where you got to give them credit.
No, absolutely. And that's what's most important. They did step up. But, you know, listen, I thought that they were a little bit inconsistent. You mentioned the running game at the beginning of the game. It did take a while to get going, specifically, like you mentioned, near the end of the game. And they did hit Brady a great deal, and that does bother me. But, again, Damien, you mentioned it. You have to give some credit to the New York Jets and Rex Ryan, because he seems to dial up the right defense to really get at Brady. And we cannot not mention Ryan, because I think he really does bring up defensive issues to the Patriots' offense. Back over to you, Steve. What are your thoughts about the offensive line in this game?
I pretty much am right on track with what Damien said earlier. I thought overall it was inconsistent at times. I mean, they really stepped up when it counted that last drive when the Jets knew they were going to run the ball, and then they basically ran it right down their throat. And the Jets' defense at that point had gotten a little tired, and they couldn't stop them. But overall, during the game, you know, that's Rex Ryan's thumbprint all over it, because what they were doing is they read the Patriots' offensive line formations just like the offense reads the defense. And they know how they're going to protect, and they overload on certain plays. And you saw it. There was one play where I think it was Matt White or somebody. They just basically blocked air and allowed Westerman to come in untouched, and Brady got hammered hard on that play. And that's Rex Ryan's defense. I mean, he does that all the time. That's why they're the number 2 defense in the NFL. And especially against the pass, they can dial it up. And it just there's issues there for the Patriots to work out because they're playing Dallas this week, who can get after the passer. And then after the bye, they play Pittsburgh, who does the exact same thing. And so these are issues that are going to have to be worked out, and they're going to have to get their signals correct during practice.
No, listen, Steve, I agree with you, and that actually goes to my follow-up question I was going to ask both of you, and again, this leads into what you just said. Are you concerned about protecting Brady against stronger defenses? I guess we'll find out. Damian, what are your thoughts on that, on moving forward against defenses like Dallas and like Pittsburgh coming up? Are you worried about the offensive line protecting Brady?
No, I'm not really that concerned at all. I think what we have to remember is before Tom Brady was sacked late on in the Oakland game, he'd gone 10 quarters, I think it was, without being sacked. And looking at the offensive line stats, in terms of QB hits, they're ranked 22nd with just 20 this year. And the current league best is 17. And they're ranked 26th in sacks allowed with just 8. And surprisingly, Buffalo actually lead the NFL with only 4 sacks allowed. So, you know, I'm not truly concerned at this point. Like I say, we've always had problems against the Jets, especially since Rex Ryan arrived. He just seems to find ways to confuse the offensive line, and sometimes a lot of those sacks are coverage sacks, because a lot of people seem to forget that the Jets are very good at disguising coverages and very good at confusing Brady and what they're doing. And Brady did have time, have a lot of time in this game, and he just couldn't seem to find open receivers at times. So you've got to, like I say, just give the Jets credit. We always seem to struggle against them.
You bring up a valid point, Damian, because I was thinking about that during the game. We are talking about the offensive line, but Brady had plenty of time at times to throw the ball and was holding it, meaning that it was a coverage sack, and that's not on the offensive line. And that's, again, giving a little credit to the Jets and Rex Ryan, because he was really forcing Brady to hold it. So, yes, here I am criticizing him a little bit for some of the sacks, but some of them might be just good defense and really not on Brady or on the offensive line. It was really more of what the Jets were doing. So I guess that's something to think about as well. And like Steve mentioned, they are the number two defense, and they basically showed us why. And it does concern me a little bit the next time the teams play, and has really concerned me every single time. I forget how good this defense is until we play them, and it's something to think about when we go down to the Meadowlands to face them. Moving on about the offense, let's go back to you, Damian. The Jets did limit Wes Welker somewhat, and basically really shut down the passing lanes in the middle of the field for Brady. How would you rate the job of the outside receivers like Deion Branch and Chad Ochocinco in this game making up the difference?
I'd say they did particularly well. Overall, I think we spread the ball pretty well. I think we hit 6 different receivers in that game. And Revis did do a terrific job on Welker and kept him well out of it. I think Deion Branch and Ochocinco, they combined for 97 yards and a touchdown. Obviously, Deion Branch got the bulk of those. And Ochocinco came up big yet again under the 2-minute drill. So, I think they did a good enough job. We committed a lot more to the run as well, which aided in that. You know, we've been stating our intention to run the ball a lot more, and that certainly helped out. You know, with taking Welker out of the game, and it helped out giving Welker his biggest reception of the day as well with the play fake. So, I think they did a great job personally. We struggled, like I say, to get things going in the first half, but I think once we'd adjusted after half time and come out after the half, we did a good job.
You know what, Damian, I really agree with you on that. It's funny because I just heard recently on a sports radio talk show basically really slamming Chad Ochocinco as basically being a bust so far. And I just don't see it that way. I still see him contributing, even a little bit, like you said, in 2-minute situations. He's still able to come up with a key catch. It's not the type of numbers that we would hope for, but he's contributing. That, to me, is the most important thing. he wants to be part of this, and he's actually making some progress in my mind. Steve, I'll give you the same question. What are your thoughts on the play of Branch and on Ocho Cinco?
I thought they did pretty well yesterday because the Jets are no slouches when it comes to pass coverage, as you all know. And when they needed a big play, they got it. And in my mind, I have to include Aaron Hernandez in there with the wide receivers because although he's strictly a tight end, he functions more as a wide receiver in their passing lanes. And he's such a big part of the offense when he's healthy. And that drop would just give him a mulligan on that one. However, I mean, you know, he had another big game, and he just puts a lot of pressure on the defense. And, you know, their main focus was to take Welker away. And they did that for the most part. They did it pretty well. He had a couple of big plays, including that huge one. But I thought the Jets did a good job because they tried to take Welker away on the third downs, especially. And the other wide receivers, as we talked about last week, were going to have to step up. And I thought they did pretty much. Brady still threw for 320 yards. We say he had a kind of an off game, but he threw for 320. You know, I thought overall the wide receivers were okay.
No, I agree with both of you. I really think they did a nice job considering, considering that they're not really the focus right now. But Brady is still able to find them, especially De'Aaron Branch. You know that relationship is rock solid. And you know what? I don't care what some of the people in the media are saying. I'm seeing progress from Ocho Cinco. That's all I have to say about that. But while we're on the subject, I wanna add this question to the mix. One of my Twitter followers sent this, and I think it really goes well with our conversation. Melly Hawking sent this. And, Steve, I'm going to send this to you first. In your opinion, will we see Taylor Price, or is the depth working against him at this point? Steve?
Oh, you're on me. Okay. I thought you went to Damian.
Steve, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I do think we'll see Price. I mean, he was healthy yesterday, and they chose not to use him, which tells me that,
Steve, you there?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Russ, can you hear me?
Yes. Steve, you there?
Okay. Yes. Can you hear me
now?
Did
I lose you for a second?
I guess. I was talking, but I guess you couldn't hear me. But what I was saying... I think we'll see Price, but a lot of people were complaining about Ocho today. I was reading a lot about Ocho and how a lot of people consider him a bust. I don't see that right now. If they were looking to him to be the focal point of the offense, a la Randy Moss in 2007, then most definitely he would be. But when they brought him on, they already had the offense planned out, and he was just a piece of it, and he's doing a piece of it. Now, I'm sure they would like him to take on a bigger role, but right now, he's still in a role, and I don't see Price taking much of that away. Otherwise, we would have saw him on the field yesterday, and he was basically a healthy scratch, even though dressed. He didn't play a snap.
Yeah, I know. It might be tough sledding for him to get into the lineup. Damian, what are your thoughts on Taylor Price?
I think he's going to struggle to hit the field this year. I'm well and truly on the Taylor Price bandwagon. He's one of my favourite players that hasn't really had an effect yet. I was very high on him when he got drafted by us. We pretty much knew he was going to be redshirted his first year, and I kind of hoped that he would make more progress this year. I didn't anticipate us bringing in Ocho Cinco, so I was hoping Taylor Price would actually be that guy. But the hamstring injury in preseason really slowed him down. Whether Bill Belichick thinks it's not worth risking him at the moment, I'm not sure. But the depth ahead of him is pretty good. He's got Wes Welker, who's one of, if not the best receivers currently in the NFL. He's on course for record-breaking numbers. You've got Deion Branch, who's Tom Brady's best friend, and I don't think there's a wide receiver QB tandem in the league that is more on page than they are. in terms of knowing what each other are thinking. And then, of course, you've got Ochocinco, who, no matter what people say, he's a veteran, he's experienced. And if Ochocinco's making plays, and he has made a couple of very, very nice catches, when he has made a catch, you know, if he's making those plays, he's gonna get on the field, because people have to respect his threat. So, you know, I think it's going to be hard for Taylor Price to hit the field this year, but he's definitely one to watch for the future because, you know, he had the intangibles of a first round draft pick, but he wasn't at the school to be a first round draft pick. He was at a run first school in Ohio State, and there was no chance for him to put up the kind of numbers that he's capable of. And if he had been at a more spread offense type school, a school that passes the football a lot, I think he'd have been drafted a lot higher, and I think he could have had an impact a lot quicker.
You know, Damien, I think you hit that just right, because I agree with you on that. I'm pretty high on Taylor Price as well. In fact, I was reading a nice article by Ian Rappaport in the Herald about him, and actually Ian really thought that he was going to get a shot in this game. It didn't work out that way, and that's too bad. I really want to see him get a shot. He does have that talent. It just might not be this season. It's unfortunate, because I think once we see Price, we might see a great deal of him, similar to what happened with David Givens. David Givens was not, I believe he was a seventh-round draft pick, and he worked his way in the lineup and was a very valuable wide receiver for the Patriots. Taylor Price might have more talent than someone like a David Givens, so I'm hoping that we start to see him, maybe not by the end of the year, hopefully next season, because they need some young wide receivers. Now, moving on, back to you, Steve. We're just talking about, briefly, a little bit about Aaron Hernandez. He did not look like he was back to 100% yesterday. However, as the game went on, he did seem to get his timing back. Do you think the Patriots might have rushed him back too soon in this game?
No, I don't. I think if there was any doubt in their mind, they would have sat him. I think I read somewhere where Hernandez said that he was bothered at first by the knee brace, and he was focusing too much on that, and that was part of the reason why in the early going he looked didn't look like himself, basically. And plus, you know, he did miss a couple of games. I mean, you have to understand that he was a tad rusty. His timing might have been a tad off. But no, I don't think they rushed him back, because we saw in the second half he played much better, and I thought he looked like himself in the second half. And if they rushed him back, I think he would have been worse in the second half than in the first.
That's a valid point, you know, because I thought he did look rusty for obvious reasons, but you bring up some really good points that I had not heard about the knee brace, and that does make some sense. Damien, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, Steve definitely made some valid points there. I hadn't heard the story about Hernandez complaining about the knee brace. Before I heard that, I was one of those people today that thought maybe he was rushed back a bit too quick. You know, it looked like that knee was bothering him, and again, that might have something to do with the knee brace, especially in that drop catch in the end zone, which resulted in the interception. It just seemed that he seemed to be bothered by it and concerned about falling on it. And when you're a receiver playing in a complicated offense and you've got that in the back of your mind, it will throw you off a little, and it will result in drops like the drops that Hernandez had. And, you know, so there was that. And there was an occasion where he overthrew Hernandez, and Tom Brady overthrew Hernandez. And I can't help but feel that it wasn't that Brady felt that he was going to be there. You know, like the QB and wide receiver relationship or tight end relationship is all about timing. And Brady would clearly have assumed that Hernandez would be in that area, and he wasn't. He was a step behind. And when I looked at that, I thought personally that's because Hernandez had lost a step for this game. And so, you know, I did have it in the back of my mind, like, throughout that game, have we rushed him back? But saying that, you know, he had a solid game. He had five receptions for over 50 yards, averaging 10 yards a catch. So, you know, whether they rushed him back or not, he produced, especially towards the end of the game.
He certainly did. I actually, right before we came on, I I looked back at the highlights of the game, and he was in many of those second half highlights, and I forgot about how much he actually contributed. And again, Steve, thank you for bringing that up, because I had not heard that, and that actually makes sense and kind of calms my fears about him, because it sounds like to me it was just a confidence thing with the knee brace, and again being a little rusty. I can handle that. That's not a big deal. Because if Aaron Hernandez is back to himself, the Patriots defense is going to the Patriots offense is going to be very difficult to stop. Guys, I do have one more question before we change to the defense on the offense. Damien, I'll go right to you. We are continuing to see a real balanced attack from the offense. Would you like to see this approach continue the rest of the season, or just be more situational against certain opponents?
I think we need to stick with it, because it adds that air of unpredictability about the offense, and you could see exactly the effect that it had. I mean, we weren't having much success with it in the first half of the game, but we stuck with it, and then we came out the first play of the second half, play action, double move by Welker in 72 yards down the field, and because we were committing to the run, the Jets always had that in the back of their mind, and it sets up the passing game. When the Patriots were a pass-heavy team and we couldn't run the ball, we were predictable. And eventually, you know, teams came up with a blueprint to beat us. And whilst I like a hurry-up style of shotgun offense where passing it down the field and passing is nicer to see, it's more entertaining, I think we need to stick with it. I think we need to stick to just coming out of the huddle, Brady under center and running the ball. I mean, we saw a lot of Brady under center in this game on Sunday, and that again, it confuses defenses, because you just don't know what he's going to do, whether he's going to hand it off or whether it's going to be play action or what. So, you know, I think we really need to stick with it.
You know what? I'm actually starting to come around on that. And what's funny is, again, before the show, I actually heard Bill Belichick on WEI talk about something Steve mentioned about in-game adjustments. He was asked the question, do they actually change during the game to like the hurry up? And he basically said that they go through these in-game adjustments. They look at the photos, and then they at certain times will make this in-game adjustment and change from a more balanced attack to the hurry up, to really slowing it down, to going really fast. And I found that fascinating. Steve, back to the question about the balanced attack. What are your thoughts on that moving forward for the rest of the season?
Oh, absolutely. Because when you have a balanced attack, then, you know, you keep the defense reacting to you rather than you reacting to it. And you saw a prime example of that yesterday. The Jets, they were putting at times 5 and 6 defensive backs on the field, and Brady would call a audible, and then they would run the ball. And, you know, the defensive backs are faster, obviously more athletic, but, you know, if you get a tight end or a offensive lineman on a defensive back, he's not going to be able to make that play at the line of scrimmage. And I think they need to stick with that. I was listening to Benjarvis Green Ellis in an extended interview last night, and he was saying in the second half, Brady was calling 2 to 3 plays in the huddle, and then he would adjust depending upon what the Jets were showing in their defensive alignment. So as long as they can continue to do that and mix it up, they're going to be very, very difficult to stop.
I agree with you, Steve. I mean, that's what I found fascinating about this discussion about, because I was on board with the hurry up, honestly. I was really on board on that. I said, you know what, this works. But to have the flexibility to be really a balanced attack, boy, that makes the Patriots even more dangerous. If you really don't know what they're going to do, can you imagine what the play action is going to turn into? It's already dangerous. I can just see Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski just flying up the middle of the field. Because now you're going to see defenses really trying to stop running backs like Benjarvis Green Ellis, and then of course we will still see more of Stephen Ridley, and it's great to see. It just keeps the defenses guessing. So I'm all for that. Well, listen, we're about halfway done with our show, so now we're going to switch over to the defense. Certainly have much to talk about that. And setting that up, again, this is another question from my Twitter follower, Melly Hawking. I was actually going to ask you guys this question, but similar to it, but I'm going to go with Melly's question. You guys ready? I'll start with
Absolutely. You, Damien.
Good. I'll start with you, Damien. I've heard all day, this is from Melly Hawking, I've heard all day how the D was really not great, considering they were playing a subpar Jets offense. Your thoughts?
I think that to some extent, you know, you kind of have to talk about that when you're debating the defensive performance. Like, the Jets offense hasn't been firing on all cylinders. Sanchez has had a poor start to the season, and they haven't had that much success running the ball. But you really can't take anything away from the New England defense. But there were 7 3-and-outs out of 11 possessions, I think. I'm not exactly sure on the number of possessions, but 7 3-and-outs is an absolute fantastic stat. And considering the fact that we struggled so much in 3-and-outs last year, you know, it's nice to see improvement there. You know, I did, as Steve mentioned at the start of the show, I did question some of the play calling by the Jets. But there were times where, you know, there were times when they really did go to ground and pound, and we dealt with that pretty well at times. I mean, we had the one big drive that we really we really looked quite shoddy in, where they went up and got their first touchdown. But apart from that, we pretty much slowed them down in the run game, and Sanchez was pretty much non-existent pretty much all game. So I think it would be extremely harsh to take this away from a defense that was really lacking in confidence and not performing very well.
You know, Damien, I'm right there with you on the defense. I do understand why people are bringing up the Jets offense, and if you go to the first couple of drives, Jets receivers did drop a couple passes that would have extended their drives. But you know what? That's part of the game. You know, overall, I thought the Patriots defense did a really nice job. Steve, what are your thoughts about Melly's question?
Well, I got to tell you, Russ, if we talked about this last week and I said to you that the Jets would have the ball 11 times and 7 of those times they would go 3-and-out and Sanchez would have 70 yards passing through 3 quarters and be held under 200 yards and they would hold the Jets running game to 95 yards, I think all of us would have jumped on that. We would have jumped on it as fast as we possibly could. I think that the defense, granted, the Jets are not playing up to the potential that they have. Truthfully, with the exception of, I believe, their quarterback, they have a very, very good offense. They have one of the best offensive lines in football. They have very good backs. They have very big physical wide receivers. And the only question mark in my mind is their quarterback. But, you know, if we had said all those things last week going in that, you know, the Patriots were going to do this on defense, we'd have said they played superbly. And overall, I thought they did well. Now, that last drive, I thought they kind of laid off a little too much. And they let Sanchez hit those underneath routes and they moved right down the field. I didn't really like what I was seeing there, but overall, they only had 8 3-and-outs all season, and for them to get 7 in one game, I think that speaks volumes, regardless of whoever you're playing.
You know what, Steve? And I'm saying this a lot, but I actually really agree with what you just said on that. And it's funny you bring up Sanchez because I am writing about this. The real difference between the teams, let's be honest here, a big difference is the quarterback play. And Mark Sanchez, for some reason, has not, you know, really become a consistent quarterback. I don't know if he'll ever be an elite quarterback, but he's not even a consistent quarterback. And I think that's what's holding back the Jets from becoming an elite team that could possibly go to the Super Bowl. I hate to put it all on one player, But this is a quarterback-driven league, and sorry. Most of their problems on offense, I agree with you, Steve, is definitely goes to Sanchez. But enough about the Jets. I've been talking way too much about the Jets. Let's talk more about the Patriots' defense. God, I'm sounding like Michael Felger. I got to stop talking about the Jets.
I was just going to mention that, but I figured that would be bad pull.
His influence has got to leave this show right now. Okay, back to the Patriots' defense. Steve, I'm going to ask you this question. The Patriots took away Dustin Keller, who was a huge key in my five keys to victory, who I believe was really going to be a major factor in this game. I really did. They also really took away the passing lanes from Sanchez on those three-step drops. How big do you think taking away those options affected the Jets' offense in this game?
Oh, I thought it was tremendous. I thought that was a tremendous blow to their offensive plans. If you look back at the game in January, all their big gainers were on that three-step drop and Sanchez getting rid of the ball to his first read. And that was their plan, and they performed it to perfection in January. And by them taking that away, you know, the one name we didn't hear a lot of yesterday was Devin McCourty. And I thought McCourty played a very good game. Now, we didn't hear his name called, so you're like, oh, well, you know, what did he do? Well, he took away that short route. And, you know, he had help over the top, obviously. But that's what the Jets were looking to do again, and they were going to try to torch the Patriots on that short three-step drop. And I thought McCourty did very well on that. He took that away the majority of the game. And I thought they did another outstanding job of covering Keller. I mean, they've taken away a couple of really good tight ends this year, and Keller and Antonio Gates. And that's Sanchez's safety valve. I believe Keller to be in the Jets offense with Sanchez as Welker is to the Patriots. I mean, when Sanchez feels the heat, he tries to go to Keller. And they took that away. I believe he only had one catch yesterday. I thought the defense was superb in doing that. That's what they tried to take away, and they did. They took away that three-step drop pass, and they made him hold on to the ball longer, and they took away Keller. And I thought that was outstanding.
You know, Steve, that's why I wanted to pose that question, because here we are talking about the Patriots' defense. We're talking about how bad the Jets' offense was, but if you really look at how they took away Dustin Keller and this three-step drop, that shows me the huge improvement of this unit. Because, like you just mentioned, they also took away Antonio Gates. They really limited Darren McFadden. There's something positive going on the defensive side of the ball that many in the Boston sports media don't want to get around, but I'm seeing it, and the ability to take away Keller proves it, because that he is the safety valve. He extends drives and also kills them in the red zone. So to take him out of the game probably had a lot to do with Mark Sanchez having 71 yards through three quarters, because I noticed those three-step drops and the Patriots being all over it, and in some occasions it was trying to go to Keller. So that's why I think that was a major positive for the Patriots. Damien, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, you're 100% right in your key to the game. That was really what we needed to do to win this. Like, Sanchez is as we pointed out, is a very below average QB. He's had his chance to shine and he hasn't done that. He loves quick slants and he loves Dustin Keller. That's his binky. You know, he can't do without it. You know, he's. Yeah. And if I had a pound for every time I heard bootleg out to Keller or quick slant, three-step drop, you know, I'd be a wealthy man, because that's all Sanchez can do. And we had to take that away, and we did that to absolute perfection. Once Sanchez has gone past his first read, there's very little, you know, he's not a very confident QB. And so we had to do that. And three-step drop, quick slants, they're hard to defend. Like, if a QB a QB and a wide receiver are on cue with that, you know, it's almost impossible to defend. So the Patriots did an extremely decent job.
No, absolutely. And that's, you know, and again, like I'm talking to the two of you, that's why, you know, when I started hearing the commentary about the Patriots defense and the struggles of the Jets offense, at some point you have to give a little credit to the Patriots defense. And
absolutely.
And Steve, you mentioned it earlier. Doesn't matter who you're playing against. To have all those three and outs is a huge positive. But I think this part, this key that I made in my five keys, I think really shows it. Really shows that there's improvement from week to week. Like I said, from the McFaddens to the Gates to, you know, to this game, Keller. The Patriots defenses that were successful in the Super Bowl era could always take away your number one threat. Guess what? They're doing it again. So maybe instead of focusing on what they're not doing, how about focusing on what they are doing? And I say that to the Boston sports media who just wants to rip the Patriots every way that they can. Why don't you focus on one positive? Because the defense does have something positive going. And they've now proved it several weeks. Sorry to go off on a rant, but I just needed to. Michael Felger does that.
Well, you know, the glass is always half empty when it comes to Bill Belichick with the media because he doesn't give them anything. So they always look to throw darts at him, basically. And they're going to focus on the negative things with the defense until it comes a time when the defense is just downright dominant. But, you know, I saw a lot of things that were positive yesterday. There were still a lot of things that need to be worked on. Some of the communication on that last touchdown to Holmes, the communication was poor in the secondary. That's going to happen with all these new parts. Hedebo was starting for the first time in his career. But I saw a lot of positive things. And, you know, one of the most positive things I heard was on a guy that didn't make one tackle yesterday. And that was Haynesworth. And they talked to Haynesworth. Now, Haynesworth didn't make a tackle, but when he was in there, he was eating up those double teams. And, you know, you saw other people, you saw the Wilforks and everyone else making tackles on their running game. And I thought, you know, Haynesworth wasn't a factor in the pass rush or he didn't make any stops, but he slowed the point of attack a lot on that offensive line when they were trying to run the ball. And Haynesworth said that, hey, things are starting to come together, and this defense is going to be a lot better than people are giving it credit for. And I took that as a big positive.
You know, so do I, and it's funny because I heard again, right before I came onto the show, about an hour before, a lot of negative stuff about Albert Haynesworth, and, you know, about him being out of shape. And listen, he does look like he's out of shape. But when he can play, he can make a difference. He's someone that I believe could take the Patriots' defense to another level once he does work himself into shape. I know it's been a few months. But one of the things that I noticed about Haynesworth was actually in the passing game. He was forcing Mangold back into Sanchez. That's what I really want to see. And I saw that a few times, and that caused Sanchez some problems. It might have not caused him to get sacked, but it might have forced him to move a little bit quicker than he wanted to get the ball away a little bit quicker. So, you know, we can pick on Albert Haynesworth being overweight or calling him Fat Albert all you want, but I still think he's going to make a difference this season. Damien, do you have any thoughts so far on Albert Haynesworth?
You guys have pretty much summed it up. I mean, everyone will look at the stats, and, you know, and a lot of fans look at the stats, but they don't tell you the whole picture. He does statistically, he doesn't look like he's having much of an impact at all. But like I say, teams are double teaming him, and that when he's on the field, and that is a massive of massive importance. The fact that he's there taking two offensive linemen up is allowing other people to make plays. And that's, you know, what people aren't focusing on. They just seem to be focusing on the negative that he isn't putting up lightning stats. But, you know, that's not all there is to football, being a big stat man. You know what I mean? He's got to, you know, he's causing problems, and he's collapsing pockets, and that's what we brought him here to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just want to see, you know, I want to see what he looks like in the 15th and 16th week of the season. Then we can make a full judgment on Albert Haynesworth. I'll take these little improvements from week to week, similar to Ocho Cinco. It's how these guys are playing by the end of the year where we can fully judge their impact. Right now, there are just a lot of pot shots about both of these players. And I don't agree with it because it's too early to make these type of judgments. Let's see where they are. You know, they're not busts. Neither one of them, I truly believe, are going to end up being a bust. In fact, I think both of them are going to pay dividends in the playoffs. We're just not there yet. Give these guys a chance before you cast judgment on Albert Haynesworth and Chad Ochocinco. Now, moving on, I want to talk a little bit about Gerard Mayo's absence. Steve, how do you feel Gary Guyton played Philly in for Mayo? And then after that, tell me what you thought about the performance of Brandon Spikes.
Well, Mayo is not the greatest run stopper. So there was more than a few plays where he was muscled out of the play. And, you know, we have to expect that. He's not the biggest linebacker.
You mean Gary Guyton?
Gary Guyton, yes.
Yeah.
And we knew he would struggle in the run game. He always has. He's more of a speedy guy, coverage guy. But overall, I thought that was the best game he had played this year. I didn't see the mistakes. I didn't see the bad angles. I saw him sticking his nose in there. Yeah, he got muscled out more than a couple of times. But overall, I thought he played much, much better. I thought he played with confidence. Earlier this season, he seemed very tentative out there. Like he was unsure of what he was doing, which is surprising since he's been on the team a few years now. But I didn't see that yesterday. I thought he played much better. Spike, again, he's not going to be the biggest coverage guy, but I like Spike in the running game defense. I love his instinctiveness. I love how he sticks his nose in there. And, you know, he's in every running play I saw yesterday, I saw Spike either in the middle of the pile or in the middle of the line sticking his nose in there. And that's what you want from your middle linebacker in the run defense. And, again, Spike probably didn't show up. I didn't see the exact number of tackles. I don't know how many he had, honestly. But I thought he did a great job. I think they all did a great job yesterday in the running game. I mean, they average less than 4 yards a carry, and that's the Jets running game. So I think they deserve a tip of the hat there.
No, listen, I agree with you about stopping the run. Damian, what are your thoughts on Guyton and Spikes?
You know, I thought they did a terrific job, and Guyton didn't take obviously the full role of captain and play caller over. You know, he had to. You know, he was there amongst it all, and directing, helping direct the linebackers. And I think he did a terrific job of that. Like I say, we held the Jets to under 4 yards a carry, and just let, like Steve touched on it, he didn't, like Spikes actually led the team in tackling, and just behind him was actually was Carter. So you know, and I think both those stats reflect just how well we did in terms of stopping the Jets in the run game. It could have been disastrous having Mayo out of the game. Our best tackler by far, our team leader, our defensive leader and play caller, and we could have really stunk it up this week. But, you know, the whole defense, you've got to give the whole defense credit because they rallied round Guyton, who was there in the middle of it all, and as a defense, they stepped up big with their captain down. And, you know, and the linebacking core as a whole did a terrific job in standing up the run and in coverage. You know, like I say, Keller, it's usually their job, or it's usually on them if it's not on safety, to keep Keller at bay, and they did that superbly.
You know, I definitely agree with that point. I'm sorry, Steve, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I just looked up the stat sheet from last night. Guyton led all Patriots linebackers with 9 tackles, and Spikes and Rob Ninkovich had 6 apiece. So, I think they earned their pay yesterday.
You know, listen, I actually really really agree with you on that, Steve. But I did want to mention, before we move away from the linebackers, I heard a great deal of talk today about Spikes. The reason why I brought him up is that I heard so much criticism about him in coverage. Now, we know that he is not great in coverage. He does not have huge speed. But you want to know something? Brandon Spikes, like you mentioned, Steve, is really good in the running game. He can really stop the run. And, you know, I did not think he had this terrible game, but on the radio today, this is what I kept hearing on different channels about the play of Brandon Spikes, and I was a little bit perplexed because I knew that he made a bunch of tackles, and I knew that he was very influential in stopping the run. So I totally don't agree with the assessment that he did not have a good game. Maybe he wasn't great in coverage, but against the run, he certainly can do the job. And I think he's going to be a huge asset as the season goes on. Guys, we don't have much time left in the show. We have less than 10 minutes. I have a couple more subjects I want to get through, so I'll try to go a little bit quicker here. What are your thoughts about the Patriots secondary against the Jets, Damian?
Superb, really. Like you can't really find much to fault them. They held Sanchez to under 200 yards, and to be honest, there wasn't much pass rush. You know, if you're going to criticize the defense for one thing, they really didn't get to Sanchez as much as I would have liked, considering their offensive line struggles in that area. So the secondary really had to be on cue, and the Jets don't have rubbish receivers. They have Santonio Holmes, and they have Plaxico Burress, who are both proven talents, and they handled them absolutely superbly. And considering, you know, James Ihedebo, he was starting his first ever game, And he stepped up big as well. He looked pretty comfortable out there. And Chung said it himself after the game. Communication-wise, they can communicate with each other just by looking at each other. And so, you know, they held their own. And considering the D-line wasn't getting the pressure we would have liked consistently, they held up and kept Sanchez under 200 yards.
Yeah, I was actually really impressed by the play of the secondary. They've been ripped and really they should be for the first several games. But I thought they stepped up nicely, and Steve mentioned before about the play of Devin McCourty. We didn't hear his name called that much, and I think that was actually a positive. Steve, what are your thoughts overall of the secondary play against the Jets?
I thought it was much, much better. That last drive the Jets had, I thought they got a little too soft on it, but that's something that can be worked on. But you know, you didn't see none of those wide-open plays yesterday. You didn't see those breakdowns in coverage. You didn't see them going time after time to the same play and daring the Patriots to stop it. They didn't have that yesterday. I thought McCourty played much, much better yesterday. I thought the secondary as a whole played much better. I mean, they helped Sanchez to 70 yards passing for three quarters and then 160 yards total. Like I said, if we had asked you that question last week, we'd all jumped on it. Overall, I thought they were much, much better. I think they're improving. The communication still needs some work back there, but in the pass rush still needs work because they don't have a consistent enough pass rush, but that ties in with it.
No, absolutely. Follow up to both of you about one player that I think could become a real impact player on this defense for years to come. We do talk about Mayo. What is the impact of having Patrick Chung basically being back to himself? I know he's dealing with an injury, but what are your thoughts about his play through the first several games, Damian, including this one?
Yeah, he's been right there, and you know the secondary has said this season that he's beginning to make that step up to the leader in the secondary. He's setting example and he's being vocal, and he's turning into that leader we really need at the safety position. And we already knew the guy was a run stopper. We've seen that we've seen that since he came here. You know, he's always been a stout safety, a strong safety against the run. There's always been, you know, a bit of questions about his pass coverage, and you know he's not perfect there yet, and he's still getting there. But overall, every year we're seeing improvements, and now you really need at safety a leader, and and we haven't really had that. That's been the problem with that safety position that hasn't been consistent over the last few years, and he's assuming that role, so he's coming on leaps and bounds, and he's the future for the Patriots. Hopefully he'll be here for a very long time.
I hope so. We haven't had a leader back there, I think, since Rodney, and I think the Patriots missed Rodney for several years. I'm talking about the Rodney Harrison of 2003-2004. Steve, what are your thoughts on Patrick Chung?
I think that, like Damian said, he's the future of the secondary. I think he's that physical presence, and as he becomes more comfortable in his role, he's just going to get better and better, and he'll be able to play more physical and more instinctive. I think he's going to morph into that. I don't know if he'll ever be the Rodney Harrison, but he's going to be the Patrick Chung of the 2010s. You know what I mean? I think
yep.
I think he's going to be the guy. I see him getting better every week. And I really like the way he's playing out there. I think he's going to become the quarterback of the secondary, if he's not already. I mean, he's going to be the man out there, and I think the other players look up to him.
You know what? I actually agree with you on Chung, and it's funny because I really thought Brandon Merriweather was going to be that guy. Well, it turned out to actually be Patrick Chung to be that leader, and I think that's the reason why Merriweather's not there. He was never that leader, and that presence back there to be the quarterback of that group, and Patrick Chung is really turning into that player, and it's really nice to see. Now, guys, we only have a few more minutes. I do have another question for you about the defense, Steve. I'll give it to you first. Who was a positive surprise on the defense, and who was a disappointment from this unit?
Positive surprise. Tough call. I would say Ahenobo, because we didn't expect him to start, and he did, and I thought he played fairly well. He wasn't flashy or fantastic, but I thought he played solid. So I'll go with him as a positive. Negative, tough to say. I didn't see that many negatives out of the defense yesterday. Probably I would say the pass rush, one of the defensive ends, although I like the way Anderson played. I'll just say throw out one of the defensive ends because they didn't get enough consistent pressure again. But
yeah, they haven't yet. I'm still waiting for it, to be honest with you. We're like five games.
I think it's going to get better. I mean, I think with the improved secondary play, we may, I'm going to say may because I'm not going to say we will, we may see some blitzes finally.
Really? That would be a change. But, seriously, you mean actual blitzes? You know, that would be
like
nice.
I would like to see Chung blitz like Rodney used to, but,
I would love to see that. Talk about Rodney, I would love to see someone, going back to our first episode when I was talking about what Rodney had said, and I'm still waiting for that.
Mm.
Damien, we don't have much time left, so I'm going to give it to you fairly quickly here. Who was your positive surprise and your disappointment?
Right, okay, I'll blitz through this. Pardon the pun. I'm going to say surprise, Guyton. A lot of people said that he wasn't going to be able to be a three-down backer. I think he held his own pretty well. And disappointment, again, just the whole defensive line. They did a stout job against the run, but they still need to get more consistent pressure. And until they do that, teams are going to be able to shred us in certain games. So we need to get that pressure. We need to get it back.
No, listen, I agree with your disappointment and your positive surprise. I thought Gary Guyton played better than most people think. Well, guys, we are coming to the end of the show once again. I've really enjoyed doing this. This is our third episode, and I want to continue to do this. I do plan on doing a preview show. I talked about it last week. This time I want to do a preview show of the Dallas game. So we will be doing one. I will be in touch with you guys, and we will be doing a preview show. I'll let everyone know the date and time we do our next show this week. It's actually going to be two shows this week. And I'm pretty excited about that. Any last words, Damien?
No, you've pretty much like finished it off well there, I think. You know, so I'm looking forward to doing the preview show. That should be good fun.
All right. Well, that's it from here. Have a good night.